Boom! All right, ladies and gentlemen, today we're going to discover the creative genius behind North Street and his journey from content creator to agency founder. So let's get this show started. Here we go.
Shut up and sit down.
Look, a business can give you everything you want in life. Prestige, wealth, freedom. It can also take everything away from you. This show is for those who are willing to take that risk. These are the real life stories of entrepreneurs. But before we start, I have one small favor to ask. Please leave a comment. It can be advice, critiques, tips, feedback, or share this with someone because your engagement is the most valuable and most powerful form of social currency. So thank you and welcome to another episode of Business Bros. All right, business bros, get ready for a creative explosion as today's episode ignites the business world. We're diving deep into the artistry and strategy behind building a standout agency in this bustling streets of New York and Providence. From the digital desk of Wired to the innovative hub of North Street, our next guest has mastered the canvas of business and design. Uncover the journey of an entrepreneur who shaped visual narratives that resonate across industries. So brace yourself for a story of resilience, innovation, and artistic flair with the founder of North Street, Mr. Tom Conlin. All right, Tom, let's get this party started, man. Thanks for coming on.
Let's do it.
Let's do it. All right, first question I always ask is the same one for everybody. Everyone who comes on the show is here to promote something. There's something you do for a living, some way that you make money. What is that for you?
Yeah, sure. I run an agency called North Street. It's a branding and creative agency. Been around for 14 years now. Basically, what we do is we create brand names, brand messaging, identities and logos and websites, mostly for business-to-business companies like financial services, professional services, healthcare, nonprofit.
All right. You got to break down branding. Branding can be so broad, right? When people hear branding, there's all kinds of stuff that pops into their head. So level with me, man. When somebody hires you, what do they expect? What are they going to get?
All right. So branding can mean 100 different things to everybody, right? Like you said. So I like to think of branding as two different pieces. There's verbal and then there's visual, right? So the verbal is really, it's like how you talk about yourself, how your company brand or even like a campaign talks about itself, right? Like the words it uses, the messages, the meaning behind the messages, sort of like what makes you tick, what makes you stand out, what you exist for, really, what your brand pillars are, that sort of stuff. Visual is when you take all of that sort of all the stuff that's being said, and then you give it a look and feel. So that's like the logo, the colors, the typography, the style of images that you use. So, I mean, you know, you've got a very established brand just in terms of like visually and verbally, because it's like I've watched a few episodes and it's like, yeah, I mean, you've got your look and feel, but you've also got the sort of the voice of the program. And that's my definition of branding.
That's a great way to look at it, because at the end of the day, if you're in your industry, you kind of want to make yourself that celebrity. People want to be able to identify you from the other competitors, especially when you're talking about business to business. There's a lot of different vendors that we can go with. There's a lot of different companies that we can choose to work with, but there's a reason why we pick that one. It could be something as simple as a logo. Usually it's more complex. It's what's behind it in the brand and the values that you're talking about. So let me take you back a little bit. What sparked the idea for you to start an agency? There's a number of different ways you could have gone with marketing, but you decided to go with the full-on agency and you launched North Street. What was that like?
Yeah, so it's funny. I get asked that from time to time. It's like, you know, how did you start your business, or like, what was the plan when you started your business? And honestly, there really was no plan. I'll just say, like, I've never created a business plan ever. I was both a writer. I worked in magazines. I was a writer and an editor. I worked at FHM magazine. If you remember that, it was it was kind of like a Maxim back in the day. I was in my 20s. It was an amazing place to work. I worked there and, I was a writer, but I'd gotten out of college and I'd been doing website design and development. So I knew how to do both. Really, like, honestly, man, this was an amazing job. I put my blood, sweat, and tears into it. Like, was working late at night to close issues, working on the weekends to write articles and things like that. And then, you know, one day, I think it was like right before the holidays in 06, brought us into a conference room, told us that the magazine was shutting down, and it was like, whoa, right? So that was really my first experience. I was in my 20s, and it was like, what just happened? You know, like I just put like my, I loved the brand, I loved the magazine, I loved people I worked with, and I'm like, man, that really sucks that just like a group of people that I don't even know just kind of decided that this wasn't, I, you know, this wasn't a thing anymore. So I really just, I got out of the magazine. I was like, what am I going to do? How am I going to pay my rent? I started doing two things. I started writing articles freelance. So that was okay. I mean, I ended up writing for Wired, Men's Journal. I wrote for Maxim, Popular Science. I had a column for a bit, Boston Magazine. But I found it really, really hard. Like being a freelance writer is really hard. You have to come up with really good ideas that are like, you know, it's more than just like a, hey, let's write about the Red Sox. I mean, it's like you have to have an idea, an angle. You have to find the right person to pitch it to, and then they have to answer your email. And then what I found was even the ones that I was getting, the articles that I was getting assigned to me, I was being paid almost nothing. I mean, it was really awful. And so I was like, I don't think I can make a living doing this. So I fell back on doing, I was also doing website design and development just on the side for friends. And I realized really quickly, I was like, whoa, like, I can get these projects, I can manage them, I can do them, and I can get paid. And I can get paid if I look at a 40-hour week, right? And how I'm going to break that down. Like, am I going to spend 3 days coming up with article ideas and pitching them to magazines and never hear back? Or am I going to like start building websites and logos and get paid for it? So that was really the beginning. And then I got to this point where it was just, I just got to this point where I got really busy. Two things happened. I got busy, but I was also being asked to do things that I couldn't do technically as a programmer or a designer. And so I kind of had this moment where I was like, all right, well, you know, lots of people make careers as freelancers and maybe I'll do that. Or what if I started maybe like taking these projects on that I can't do myself and I figure out how to do them, right? Like I'll project manage, maybe I'll design it, but I'll get someone else to build it. And that was really the beginning of the agency. I mean, it was really just me and some freelancers. And then I partnered up with someone for a little bit, probably about 3 years. But really, like, honestly, the way that it started was just super organic. It was like, let me just try to manage some projects that are bigger than me. Started doing that. Those freelancers turned into like, you know, part-time employees. And then all of a sudden it was full-time employees. And then we had an office and you know, now it's 14 years later.
Dude, that's a hell of a story. And I like the honesty behind that because oftentimes there is no plan, right? We develop a plan. We have one single plan. I got to pay my rent. I got to pay my bills. And exactly. That's exactly the plan. And it kind of develops from there oftentimes. But when you start as an agency owner, when you decided, you know, hey, I got to pay my rent. I got to do these bills. I'm going to start this whole agency thing. I'm going to take on these projects that are a little bit bigger than myself. There's still things that come up. There's problems that every entrepreneur goes through. Some of them quit on them and some of them find solutions which turn into standard operating procedures and different processes like that within your business. When you're talking to clientele, what were their common problems that helped you realize that, okay, look, I got something here. There's something here that I can build upon.
Yeah, I think, you know, I think what I realized was, well, first of all, after my experience of like that magazine shutting down, I was like, I don't know if I can like work for anybody again. You know, I was like, that's like that hurt really badly. Like, I don't know if I can like actually put my blood, sweat, and tears into something that's not mine, right? And then, you know, again, just to be honest, like when we started, I didn't have a vision for. It's funny the way that the agency turned out. I couldn't be happier or prouder, but like we are, you know, like I said in the intro, like we work on financial services, professional services, healthcare is nonprofit. It's not like overly sexy or glamorous stuff, right? Like if you think, oh, I'm going to start a creative agency, I think most people would be like, cool, I'm going to be creating logos for like the biggest brands in the world, right? That's not where we ended up, but that is where we started. We were kind of doing anything for anybody. It's funny, man. Our first paid client was a matchmaking service. We did a logo and a website for a matchmaking service, which is like the furthest that we could, like, it's just so funny because like now we don't work on anything like that. But you know, I think, you know, when you're, it's really interesting looking back now because it's like when you're starting out, you know, you're very, I was very small. It was me and like two other people. And at that time, I was the right fit for certain clients, right? That matchmaking service was a woman who was like starting her own business. She had kind of gotten out of corporate and was starting her own business. And a lot of our clients were like that. They were like these smaller companies that kind of knew that they didn't, they couldn't do it themselves. This was before the gig economy, so they couldn't just go on to like Fiverr and find somebody. And we can talk about that later if you want. But so I just found like the common ground, honestly, was like people who needed help beyond what they could do, but they couldn't afford, you know, they couldn't afford a mega agency or something like that. And so I at the beginning of my career or the beginning of North Street, we were like right on the lower end of that spectrum. And now I think we're on the higher end of that spectrum, but we're still in the middle, right? We're in this like middle area between just hiring a freelancer yourself and hiring a giant agency that's not going to touch anything for less than like $500,000.
Yeah, and those are tough situations to be in. Let me ask you about that step you took when you decided, you know what, this is a project that's a little bit over my pay grade, but I'm going to take this thing on and figure it out. At that point, you started dealing with people that were in different disciplines than you. They weren't necessarily the same expert as you, because at the end of the day, you needed their skill set to complete the project. What was it like starting to lead a team, especially when their disciplines aren't your area of expertise? I know a lot of people can get overwhelmed with that.
It requires a lot of trust, man. Really, it requires a lot of trust. You're putting, I mean, you know, a client, a business is paying you for services. You've decided that you're going to, you know, outsource some of that stuff. And like, if that freelancer messes up or just is like really unpleasant to the client, like that is you in their mind. They don't see that it's not you. It's a freelancer. That's you. So there's a lot of trust that you have to put into people that they're going to do what they say they're going to do. They're going to deliver it when they say they're going to, and that they're going to be like courteous over email if they're on an email with a client. And so it's a lot of trust from that perspective. And then, yeah, like I hired this developer. The first project, the one that I'm specifically talking about, was this giant, like, it was a giant website that required programming that was so beyond what I was able to do that I didn't even understand what the guy was doing, right? Like that, talk about needing to have trust. Like I couldn't be like, hey, do this, do that. I had to be like, here's like the sort of end goal, and I'm going to like trust you to get there on time. And so, listen, I mean, that project was successful, but not all of them were, because over the years, I mean, you experiment with a lot of different things, a lot of different ways of getting work done. And sometimes it works really well, and other times it doesn't work well. And you have to kind of apologize, or it just doesn't work out that well.
But you've been at this for now 14 years. So in a way, you've had success, ups and downs, and naturally every business goes through them, but you're still here. You're still around. You've outlasted a lot of your competition. How do you feel North Street has maybe changed the landscape of the financial services or the nonprofit sectors that you work with?
I'm not sure that we're changing it in a way that like, you know, you can look at the industry and be like, oh, that's where like North Street entered the picture and then they changed everything. But what I can say is that I think that we are very attractive to a certain type of client. And I think what that client wants is, you know, they want really amazing work, but as a design agency, you know, like delivering good work honestly is table stakes. It's like, if you're hiring an agency, if you're paying agency prices, you should get good looking work. I think that they want process, and they want project management. You know, I think that like, that's something I say to this day to clients is like, you know, look, like you could hire a freelancer, or you could hire a very small agency, but the fact is you're probably going to be the project manager on this project. And if you don't want to do that, you may want to think about a larger agency like mine. And so I think like, it's not that we've changed the landscape. I think that we are, you know, look, I think that there are, sometimes it's just that fit, right? It's for the client needs what we do at a very specific time. We're available. We have those skills. We have the work and experience to back it up. We meet, they see that we have processes, we have project management. We, you know, a lot of honestly, like winning projects is making the client feel okay, right? Like they're about to spend a lot of money. And so we want to make sure that they feel like they're going to be taken care of beyond delivering really good work. And so, yeah, again, like I wouldn't say that we've changed the landscape, but I'd say that we're very good at working with a certain type of client in all of the disciplines that we work in.
Those are already great strategies that you've used to kind of make it in this industry at all. Because again, there's agencies that come, they go, they're sort of successful. They kind of at the end of the day burn out oftentimes because they're small agencies that just can't go with the growth rate. Now, there's so many things that are changing out there. So many new tools that we can use to kind of enhance creativity. What things are you doing now? What strategies have you maybe kept or added or maintained when it comes to the creativity and the innovation within your team to kind of keep things juicy, especially in an unsexy industry like you were talking about, financial sector?
Yeah, first of all, we're always evolving like how we do things, right? And we're even the company's evolving. I mean, when I started, I was a website designer and developer. I mean, we did websites and we would do a logo if they asked us for one. And at a certain point, I decided to evolve the agency into a branding agency. I just looked around. There was like a lot of agencies that did like, I could have gone in a number of different directions, right? Like I could have become more of like a programming shop, like building actual like web software. I could have done, we were experimenting with like live event technology. But we ultimately decided to shift into more of a branding agency. So that's just an overall shift. But like the technology, like what we're doing and the technology that we're using just changes, and you have to. I mean, like it's funny. I was talking to someone today. We used to design all of our, and everybody did, we used to design all of our websites in Adobe Photoshop. I mean, that was like the program that everybody used. Now, Photoshop was never meant for web design because it was invented before it. So like you're using this like photo editing program, you know, that's got like all these like things for like manipulating a photo. You're using that to create web layouts. Well, you know, in the last 10 years, tools have come out that are very specifically built for website design and development. And man, I remember we switched over from Photoshop to Sketch. We decided to test one project using Sketch instead of Photoshop. And within 3 months, we had changed everything to Sketch. We were just building everything in Sketch. And now this year, we've decided to switch to Figma, which is just another, you know, it's another interface layout program. And we just decided, we sort of looked around and we're like, you know what, like this is the program that like has way more integrations. It's just like, it seems like it's becoming the standard. And so we've adapted, and like we're already, I mean, we made the switch probably 2 months ago, and we're probably moving all of our projects into that. So I think the short answer is you just have to continue to adapt, because honestly, I mean, you know, we could have a whole separate conversation about AI, good and bad, but it is, whatever happens, it is going to shape the future of my industry. And so we're going to have to adapt and figure out, you know, what's AI's place, what's our place. I remember probably 7-8 years ago, it was like really like, it was kind of peak like Squarespace, Wix. I think Squarespace had come out with like a logo generator. Mm-hmm. And I remember I was freaking out. I was like, man, this is not good. And I remember speaking to another agency owner who was a larger agency owner. And I have a lot of friends who run other agencies, which is, it's really great to like have a network like that. And I remember asking him like what they were going to do. This is like a 30 person agency. I'm like, what are you guys like going to do with all this? Like, you know, people can create their own websites on Squarespace and Wix and all that. And they were like, you know what, like we'll adapt. Like there's always going to be a need for creative strategy. Like maybe the sort of like the sausage making, like the actual like factory work will be automated, but there's always going to be a need for like just kind of like human to human conversations that then translate into deliverables. So you know, the answer is we've adapted and we will continue to. How exactly we're going to adapt in the next 5-10 years, I don't know, because it's just a shifting landscape.
Yeah, I'm glad you shared that, because I had that same feeling. The other day I saw a commercial for GoDaddy, and it's like everything in their email marketing built up, like everything, drag and drop, everything's done for you. And I'm like, well, there goes a whole industry. But then again, exactly what you said, there's a lot of people who are just they know those tools exist. They don't want to learn. They don't want to take the time to get in there and do it themselves. So they're going to still need our services. And your Absolutely. Agency is a testament of exactly that, because there's still customers out there looking for something as simple as web design and logo design and branding, even though we live in an age of Canva and DALL-E, which can do a lot of the same yeah. stuff for you. You're still looking for people who need that help. Looking back, now that you have 14 years of experience, is there anything you would have done differently? And what advice do you give somebody who started an agency today?
Yeah, there's a lot I do different. It's one of those like hindsight 2020, but it's also a bit of a catch 22. Like there's things like right now I am obsessed with ops. Like we are obsessed in my agency with operations. Like we are like organizing ourselves so that we can, all of our processes are documented. We can see our teams, like what our team is working on every day into like the future. We can hand a client a timeline on day one. We can say like, here, your website's going to launch April, whatever. And here are all the dates in between. It took us a long time to get there. It took me a long time to realize I kind of needed that. I would put that into place first, because it's like, look, you could focus on biz dev and like just be like, okay, all I'm going to do is bring in clients. But the fact is, like, if you haven't spent time on your processes and like perfecting your craft, and by the way, like there's no perfecting your craft, right? It's always, you're always kind of working on it. But like, if you haven't gotten really good at what you do and you can't, and it's not organized well, then, you know, all the new business in the world is just going to crash on you, because mm-hmm. you're not going to be able to do it, and you're going to soil your reputation. Not that we did that, but there are definitely, I just look back on a lot of projects where I'm like, man, if we were to do that now, like we would crush it. But, mm-hmm. but back then it was really hard to do. So I would, if I were to start again, I would definitely start with operations. Now, as far as advice for starting an agency or a business, it took me a really long time to realize that, like, I believe, and this is part of something called the Entrepreneurial Operating System, or EOS, which is a book called Traction. It's basically a model for running your business. But I believe that every great business needs two people at the top. And one is the sort of like, it's left brain, right brain. I think you need both parts. You need the person who's like the leads with their heart, leads with like, you know, the big thoughts, passion, like gets the team pumped up, like gets clients pumped up, gets the prospective clients pumped up, like has the big dream. But then I think you also need like the scientific half of that equation, which is the person who can put everything into spreadsheets and like data and science and look at it and be like, here's how we're going to do it. And honestly, up until like a year ago, I didn't really have that other half. And so I've got it now.
Yeah, it's tough when you're only half skilled, and it's not that you're incapable or anything. It's just somebody is better than that.
And someone loves it.
And that's the key, right? They love it. That's the truth.
Yes, dude. Like I can't, I mean, forget about it. Like I took to like organize my entire agency into spreadsheets and stuff. You're talking about like nightmare territory for me, but my ops guy loves it. Like that's what mm-hmm. he thrives on. You know what he doesn't thrive on? He doesn't thrive on like talking to big crowds or like, you know, like interfacing with clients with that's the stuff like I love to do.
Dude, and you're so right. You're so right. My brother and I were the same way. He's definitely the systems guy. He's the guy who creates those spreadsheets. And I was the one who was like, dude, let me just go talk to somebody. Let me just go bring it in, right? Yeah. The downside of that reminds me of Michael Gerber's book, The E-Myth, yes, where you always have the entrepreneur, you have the manager and the technician. Well, he was definitely more manager, technician side, and I was definitely entrepreneur. And I'm always throwing things at him, and he would always tell me, we can do that, but let me tell you all steps A through Z that have to get done first. But you need those people. You're right.
I agree. And honestly, it's great that you mentioned E-Myth, because I love that book. And another piece of advice I have for people starting their own thing is like, you need to realize that, you know, you are a technician because you have this skill that you've used for your career. And then when you decide to go into business for yourself, you're gonna leverage that technical skill or whatever skill you have to do what you do. But the fact is you have to run a business as well, right? So you're like, you're the technician, but I would say to anybody who's really like thinking about starting a business, just remember that like you also have to run a business and get clients. Like you have to do what you love to do, you know, like whether it's designing, hosting a podcast or whatever, like that's what you're setting out to do. And that's what your business is going to be. But don't forget that like actually half or more of your time is going to be spent doing like the business stuff.
Mm-hmm. And it never ends. The bigger you get, the more you're going to be doing that. So it completely keeps going. Dude, Tom, if, you know, 14 years down the road wasn't enough, I'm pretty sure you have a future set ahead of you. What are the plans for North Street? Where do you see your business going in the next few years, especially as AI starts to really dominate our space?
Yeah, I think, I mean, well, I'll tell you some things that have been happening. I mean, one is we've started expanding the footprint of our team globally. So, you know, we were all in a single studio in the South Street Seaport in New York City in 2020, you know, like March, Friday the 13th was like our first day we went virtual. And now we are completely virtual. We have a couple office spaces, but it's like people kind of come in and out of them, right? Mm-hmm. And so one thing that we've done in the last couple of years is, I mean, we have developers all over South America, and we also have one in Africa, believe it or not. And you know, I've got team members now in like multiple time zones, which has been really interesting. So we have been changing as far as what the future looks like. I mean, look, I think that I've already steered the ship in a direction which is to be more strategic based than execution based. And so I think that was a good decision back then, because I think a lot of the execution is going to be automated. And what I mean by execution is, you know, you can type something into DALL-E or whatever and just say, hey, give me a logo that has these things in it, and it'll pop it out. But what it doesn't do is it doesn't do all the front end work on that, which is like figuring out who your company is, like what are competitors doing in this space, like what are the no-nos, like what's the white space where you can like stand out, what are the things that are like stupid and you shouldn't do it, or if you've seen someone else do it and fail, and like what are your values and how can we tie that into your logo, you know. So I think that we're going to become more and more a strategic partner. We'll always do the execution piece, the designing the logos, the building the websites. But I think we're going to, you know, there's going to be a bigger front end of strategy on that. And so I'm not really sure what that means. I mean, it could mean that we are adding a lot more kind of like research and insights into our work. So that's one thing. I think another thing about kind of where we're gonna go is I like the idea of, we've been working with some startups recently, and so we've seen kind of like what their needs are as they're going to get funding or as they're going to get investment. And I think that like a future version of North Street could potentially not just like create a brand and set it on its merry way, but create a brand and then like help them get funding. I mean, I think that could be an interesting thing.
It definitely helps if you have a clear message when you're out there pitching for whatever round you're on. Tom, obviously your agency has been around for a while. You're literally sharing with us different stories, different techniques, and different ways that people can grow their company, or at least in the financial and in that industry. If people want to reach out to you and they want to work with you or get an idea of what it takes to work with you, how can they do that?
Yeah, definitely. You know, my emails, I think it's scrolling at the bottom of the screen, but yeah, Tom at North Street Creative. I mean, look, there's a couple things I'm really always interested in. One is like talking to other business owners. I mean, I'm part of something called the Entrepreneurs Organization in New York. I love talking to other business owners, and it doesn't matter like what their business is, because it's just a shared, all the joys and problems that you have as a business owner are like cross category, right? I'm also really interested in helping young people sort of like out of college figure out like how to get their first job. I've just been like, it's something with the last couple of years of like COVID and going remote and everything. I really think it's like, it's gotten really hard for young people to kind of get that first chance. And like, I'm not saying I have those roles at my company. Occasionally I do. Okay, great, we'll hire you. But I think that as someone who hires a lot of people, I love to just help people figure out the sort of puzzle piece that is like getting your first job. And then, yeah, absolutely collaboration. I mean, we work with other agencies all the time. We work with agencies that do SEO, agencies that do display media research. I mean, we've got tons of partners, and so we're always, you know, it's a nice two-way street because they'll send us business, we'll send business to them. So yeah, definitely interested in speaking to folks.
Nothing like the power of networking to help grow your business. It works every single time, ladies and gentlemen. Tom's no different. Reach out to him. Shoot him an email, tom@northstreetcreative.com. Loves to talk business, ladies and gentlemen. So sometimes you just need to hear from people who've been at it for a while, get a different perspective in your business or about your business from somebody who's outside the box. Trust me, it's a completely different ballgame when somebody's looking in rather than you who's been stuck in it for quite some time. So reach out. Website scrolling across the bottom, northstreetcreative.com. Tom, thank you very much for being on the program today. Ladies and gentlemen, that's all we got for you on this one. We'll catch you guys on the next one. Peace. And we're out.
It's over. Go home.
Is your business in need of marketing? Try starting a podcast. But not just any podcast. Podcast like a pro. We can show you how to take your business from being invisible to becoming a brand people trust. Go to www.businessbros.biz to get started today.